The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this was his testimony. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and he did not deny, "I am not the Christ." But then they asked him, "Why then, who are you? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And so they said to him, "Who are you, so that we can give an answer to those who sent us?" "What do you have to say for yourself?" And he went on to say, "I am a voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" As Isaiah the prophet said, some Pharisees were also sent, and they asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" And he answered, "I baptize with water. There is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. We are still in the company of John the Baptist as we approach the celebration of Christmas. So let me speak a few moments about the prophet John. Way back many years ago, when we studied prophets and prophecies, there were a few things that were very fundamental and important to understand about the prophets. The first thing was, the prophets are sent for a moment in time. They were sent per modum actus, not per modum habitus. They were sent for a special message in a particular time. They were not sent habitually. And once they have given their message, their prophecy is fulfilled. It's meant for that moment. The second thing about prophets is, the prophet was imperfect. And the prophet was pointing to one greater than he. Therefore, we don't measure the value of the prophecy by the humanity of the prophet. The third thing about prophets is, they were to be found in unusual places. In this case, we are told that John was in the desert, and people went out to meet him. They went out because they were in crisis. They wouldn't meet the prophet in mainstream life. You won't meet the prophet on Wall Street. You won't meet the prophet in the things of the world. It's when Wall Street collapses and the things of the world collapse, then you seek the prophet. And to seek the prophet, you must go out. You must leave the place where you are. Walk away from the teachings, the values, and the attachments, and all the things that somehow envelop you, and look for a new experience of the prophet. The desert is the symbol that the prophet is to be found in a different place, not in the ordinary commerce of life. And finally, the prophet speaks about an experience. The prophet is to be found in an experience, not in a particular location. So the desert or the forest, wherever people go, they're not seeking a new place. They're seeking a new experience. When all that this world can give you satisfies you, when everything in life is supplied by the world, when all the consolation of the worlds are sufficient, you will not seek the prophet. And then one day, someday, any day, darkness will fall upon you. You will be overwhelmed by life. Could be a betrayal, some major failure in your life, some sin, some burden, some distraction which is radical in your life. Some boredom, emptiness, some poverty, the poverty of conflict, the poverty of boredom, the lack of meaning in your life. When you become hopeless and you find life without hope, then you seek the prophet. When all is well, you are not going to seek the prophet. You don't need the prophet. So you'll find, if you read the text, all four Gospels deal with John the Baptist. It would say people went out to see John the Baptist and to ask him, "What must I do?" And he'd say, "Repent." Not a good translation of the Greek. The Greek is metanoia. Nous is a Greek word that means mind. Meta literally means beyond, but it means change. Change your mind. Change the way you're looking at your life. Change your perspective in life. Change your values in life. And only then, when you change, can you see the one the prophet is announcing. You won't see. He will point to the Messiah. The prophet doesn't have the answer. The prophet points to the place where you will find the answer. And very frequently, we are not looking for a resolution of a problem. We're looking for an understanding. We're looking for the power to find our way through a difficult time. We're looking for consolation, for hope, for healing, for encouragement. It's not so much to solve the problem, it's to share the problem. It's to find meaning in mystery. Oh, we're visited by mystery. It's that time in your life when you ask the critical core question, where is God now in my life? Where is God when I need God? That's when you go to the desert. That's when you begin to look for a new experience. So you go out into the desert, and the prophet points to the one who will give meaning to your life, who will give hope, healing, forgiveness, lift up your spirit, allow you to have the profound grace to embrace mystery, not to solve the mystery, but to embrace the mystery and say, I have an inner strength given to me from the one pointed out by the prophet. Now, the prophet is here today and is gone tomorrow, but somewhere in your life, you have arrived at a moment where you're wondering, where do I go now? What's left? What's the meaning? Some great calamity perhaps in your life? Maybe something meaningless Every day is just another day. I don't have a sense of mission. I don't have a direction in my life. I don't have an ambition. I don't have a vision in my life. I am caught in the entanglements of today. Well, happens at Christmas. We get caught up in shopping and decorations and all this. A few weeks from now, it'll all be gone. And by the way, we have a certain disregard for re-gifting. I know. People have told me that myself, you know. But let me tell you, every gift you give is re-gifting. There is nothing that you have in life that you have not received from another. Somebody in your life sacrificed. Somebody in your life forgave you. Somebody in life was patient with you. Whatever you have to share was surely given to you by another. So don't be too discouraged about the notion of re-gift. Everything we give is a re-gift. Where did you get your intelligence? Where did you get your opportunities in life? Did somebody open a door and give you a chance that others did not? How did you get to be where you are? How did you get the blessings which you have? All unmerited grace. There is no such thing as a self-made person. That's an illusion. And we have people, sometimes very prominent, to think they're self-made. Nobody is self-made. We're all gifted. We're all blessed. But when we hit the place of poverty, the poverty of emptiness, of meaningless in life, we're looking for the prophet. We're looking for an experience. And we head into a desert place, a place which is not endowed with the things of the world. In the rabbinic tradition, this familiar story appears. When the great rabbi Israel Ben Shem Tov was threatened with a crisis, it was his custom to go into a certain holy place in the forest to meditate. There he would light a sacred fire and say a special prayer, and the crisis would pass. Later on, his successor, on the occasion when he encountered a crisis, would, for the same reason, to intercede with heaven, would go to the same sacred place in the forest and say, "Master of the universe, listen to me. I do not know how to light the sacred fire, but I am still able to say the special prayer." And the miracle would happen, and God answered. Still later, Rabbi Moshe Leib of Sasov, in a time of crisis, would go into the forest, and he would say to the master of the universe, "I do not know how to light the sacred fire. I do not know the special prayer, but I do know the place, and this must be enough." And the miracle happened. Then finally, it fell to Rabbi Israel of Rissen, sitting in his armchair, paralyzed, his head in his hands, and he spoke to God and he said, "I am unable to light the sacred fire. I do not know the special prayer. I cannot even find the holy place in the forest. All I can do is tell the story, and that must be enough." And it was enough. And the miracle happened. And the story is, he was in God's presence. The story of his life, the story of his crisis. He found the God who touched his soul and healed the crisis. Everybody's prayer. The teaching of John the Baptist, who points, this is the place to go. The place in the forest, light the fire, say the prayer, or sit where you find yourself and become conscious of the God of the universe touching you, teaching you, empowering you, the place of enlightenment. It's in your home. Years ago, on my sabbatical in Calcutta, and I had these great ideal ambitions of staying there and working, and Mother Teresa would say, no, no. Your Calcutta is at home. Go home. That's the prophet. That's the place where you find the master of the universe and the gift of life. Go home. Amen.